Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, she saw someone in the mirror, but there was no one there.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, share those real ghost stories with us, why don't you? Call in anytime, 855-853-4802, or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can become a premium subscriber. No commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. You could do that through Apple Podcasts, where you can try it 3 days free. You could also do it through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy Gordon's with me today. This is one of our things about seeing things in mirrors.
I'm telling you, that is really, really creepy stuff. And we know, right, from the house in Elma particularly was where it was, to me, the worst, that I just couldn't bring myself to look in mirrors half the time.
No, that was the house we lived in as kids.
Mm-hmm, because I just knew I'd look up and something would be back there.
You know? I interviewed a woman today, J.D. Phillips, and she wrote a book called My Spooked Up Life, Growing Up Haunted. So when I saw that title, I'm like, I think I'd like to read that book and interview that woman or man. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who JD was. In fact, until we started corresponding, I thought it was a guy the whole time. It's a girl. So, but she grew up in this haunted house. And one of the stories that is in the book, and we talked about it today, was she had looked in a mirror and behind her, she saw this woman. And like what she thought was looked kind of like a wedding dress. And then she found out later that her parents, it was just her and her parents, she didn't have siblings, and her parents didn't ever really want to talk about the house being haunted. It was kind of like, you know, let's not talk about it. If we don't talk about it, it's not happening sort of situation. But come to find out, as an adult, when she got older, and especially when she said she wanted to write the book, then the parents opened up with all kinds of stories.
Oh, wow.
And the dad had seen a woman in the house in a white wedding dress. So she sees this figure in the mirror in a white wedding dress, and then it reached its arms out.
No.
And I was like, oh, my God. And she said, to this day, she can't have a mirror in her bedroom. Like she'll cover up mirrors. She just has this thing about mirrors now. And I'm like, yeah. And why wouldn't you?
That's pretty traumatizing.
So traumatizing. But it was interesting. She had a lot of, like, she has had a super creepy doll story in there about, because they were in the 80s, the Cricut dolls. And I don't think, I wasn't really familiar with it. I had to Google it.
Yeah.
And this damn Cricut doll, like, was moving around her room. Shit. And then, so, like, when she was having problems, like, because she was like, I swear, like, the eyes are changing positions and it's looking at me. And she's, like, 7 or 8 years old. So she said she, you know, she didn't have siblings, so she treated her dolls like they were a family. And she always slept with a Cricut doll, and she would always put the doll in the same place on her pillow, you know, just like she was sleeping next to her. I think she probably put her under the covers. I don't know.
Yeah.
But she woke up in the middle of the night, rolled over onto her side, and the Cricut doll was on its side, staring at her.
Oh.
Which is really, really creepy.
Well, no, I mean, I guess the doll could have, like, been bumped and rolled over, you know.
But like, it had never happened. So then she's so creeped out by it that she puts the doll on a chair. She gets up out of bed, goes and moves the doll out of bed, and puts it on her chair. Wakes up in the morning, the doll is off the chair on the floor. So at that point, she was like, I don't even want to look at the doll. So she puts the doll on the top bunk and buried it in blankets. She leaves her bedroom for a while, comes back. The doll is hanging from the top bunk, like half of the doll's body is hanging. And it's just the three of them in their house. It's not like her mom or dad. And I think it was just her and her mom in the house at that time.
Well, and whose mom is going to hang a doll?
Yeah.
You know.
I think the doll was just hanging over, like head down. So then she told the dad, you know, I don't want this doll anymore. It's creeping me out. You need to throw it away. So the dad said, okay, that he threw it away. But what he didn't tell her is he didn't throw it away. He hid it in her closet.
Oh, no.
Because he thought that maybe she was just being a little kid and that she would want her doll back. And he didn't want to throw her doll away because she'd probably want it back. And so she didn't find the doll for like a couple of years and then was in her closet going through stuff and found this doll. And I'm like, oh my God, that would have been traumatizing all over again.
Well, really, there's the dang cricket doll.
I was like, that is just super creepy. And I get why the dad was like, oh, you know, she's just a little kid. She's going to want her doll back.
Oh, gosh.
That's creepy.
Yeah, dolls. Dolls are creepy.
Super creepy. Yeah. But the crazy thing is now she takes old dolls, like porcelain dolls, and makes them even creepier. Like she paints them super spooky-like.
Oh.
Which I said, I think that's kind of brave of you because after that experience, I don't think I'd ever want a doll in my house again.
Yeah. I have a friend that does that too, that gets old toys and turns them into scary stuff. You know, an old Barbie dream house will turn into some haunted mansion thing or
Which
something.
Which is
kind of
cool, actually.
Yeah. I mean, they're good. She does a really good job with it.
I wouldn't want that creepy looking doll in my house. I wouldn't want either the Barbie dream home. That's a nightmare.
But there are people that do want them. Mm-hmm. It's a big, you know, she makes money selling that stuff.
Well, let's hear the story about the mirror. So
yeah, let's do.
Says, my name is Anna, and the story I'm about to tell you happened a few years ago when I was attending college. My old college is located right on the border between Matamoros and Brownsville in South Texas. Did I say Matamoros correctly?
Is that Matamoros?
Yeah. Okay. It used to be a fort before they turned it into what it is today. I used to hear all kinds of stories from people like janitors who refused to clean the college at night because they reported hearing and seeing things, or professors who would see people in old-style military uniforms walking around the hallways and vanishing out of nowhere. Other people would hear movement from cavalry and infantry late at night, and one of the most famous stories was about the appearance of a lady in white. Nobody ever described what she looked like. They only said that she was wearing white, which is a pretty common thing. Like you hear hotels, they have the lady in white or
cemeteries. The one you just mentioned, they said she was in a wedding dress.
Yeah, that's just a pretty common one. It was about 10 in the morning. I was reading and waiting for my next class to begin in one of the lobbies. I went into the women's bathroom, and to give you an idea of what the bathrooms were like, is that the facilities were U-shaped. When you entered the bathroom, there were three stalls directly to your left. If you kept walking, you made a left turn, and there were three or four sinks, a mirror above each of them. Then when you turned left, there were four more stalls, no windows. I walked into the bathroom with my head down and my headphones on, and I was walking toward the restroom stalls in the back. I heard noises of someone picking up their purse or backpack, and I heard a stall door squeak open with an echo coming from the back where I was headed, as if someone was about to leave a stall a few steps after I had walked in. That's a very distinct sound when you're in a bathroom. You know what it sounds like when someone else is in there with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The noise was loud enough for me to hear despite the noise in my headphones. I was walking past the mirrors, still looking down, and I was about to approach the last turn when I saw a shadow on the floor as if someone was approaching. I stepped to the side by instinct to let the other person through, and when I looked up, nobody was walking next to me physically. Still, in the reflection of the mirror, I saw a short, stubby woman with dark skin and very shiny black hair tied back into a ponytail, wearing a white shirt, strolling right past me. I didn't see her facial features because she kept looking forward as she was walking, and it took a while for the whole thing to register in my head that nobody was walking next to me, but that in the mirror, there was someone who was walking past me who was right beside me. By the time the person should have reached the last mirror, she had vanished. My mouth was open. I was a little bit in shock, though not scared, and my skin had goosebumps all over. I guess you can say I was excited to see something like that. I had done quite a bit of ghost hunting and never saw or felt anything. Since that day, I've experienced a few other things, but this was the first time I experienced something like that, and I wanted to share my story. I love your show, and thank you. Keep up the good work, Anna. That's so crazy. I think I would be scared. It said, well, not scared. She was not scared.
Well, I think maybe a few things here. One is that it might have taken enough time to soak in what was happening that it was already gone by the time she kind of put together what she was seeing.
Yeah, that's true. And then,
and you, so maybe she, you know, that initial just fright thing wasn't there because she was trying to piece it together while it was happening. The other thing I think that's kind of interesting in this story is that, you know, she said that she had done some ghost investigations, done some ghost hunting previously, had looked and tried to, you know, have an experience and had not. But it happened when she was kind of least expecting it, not paying any attention, not thinking about that at all. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that sometimes it takes us doing super mundane things that our mind just kind of is open. You know, we're doing something like going into the bathroom. We don't really have to think about it. When most of the time when you go into the bathroom, you're thinking about a zillion other things you got to do. It's just this stop on the way so you can go do all these other things. And, you know, I have a feeling that she had just kind of cleared out her mind and had kind of was in that routine place of washing your hands or doing whatever. And then it happened.
And you know, what she saw,
she was open to it.
But what she saw wasn't scary. It wasn't scary. You know, it was just a woman that she described in quite a bit of detail. You know, maybe had she seen the woman who looked like she was in a wedding
like a
dress
headless
reaching
woman or
out
something.
To her, that would be different. But maybe I wouldn't be scared either if I'd just see a woman walk past me. I think it would take you a minute or so to even register that it happened.
That's what I think happened. Maybe, but I also think she was in that place of, this isn't, you know, where you're not expecting it. You're just kind of, you know, you're completely relaxed. Your head is kind of cleared out.
And she's in college.
And then you're open to it, I think.
She got a million
when
things.
When that happens.
Yeah, she got a million things going on.
Yeah, you know, and then there it was, you know.
But I thought she was going to see like a military guy walk by or something. And so, and that wasn't what I expected because everybody else was seeing guys kind of associated with a fort. Infantrymen, but she sees like regular women walk by.
Yeah.
Oh, I just don't know about that. I get it. Like, I think I'd be scared, but then maybe not because it would take a minute.
Yeah.
Here's another caller. Let's give it a listen.
Okay.
Hello. My name is Tylen Murphy. I am from Lexington, Kentucky. In 2014, I went to Eastern Kentucky University. I lived in a dorm there called McGregor Hall. And there's a few places at Eastern Kentucky University that were known to be pretty haunted. The more famous one is the Blue Girl in King Johnson Hall. And McGregor Hall, specifically the first floor, I heard was haunted. Like, when I first went to EKU, I met somebody. He was telling me a story he had in McGregor Hall where on the first floor there's this laundry room. And him and his girlfriend were inside of the laundry room, and suddenly the lights went out. When the lights went out, his girlfriend heard footsteps going down the stairs and walking towards her. And they got scared. They ran away. My personal experience, and I can't think of how this happened at all, but my personal experience I was, again, on the first floor in the bathroom. There's a toilet section in the bathroom, and then there's a shower section in the bathroom. And the way that the shower section is designed is it's kind of like a bathroom stall. Inside the door, there's a curtain, and inside that curtain, there's the shower. So the stall door was closed. The curtain was closed. I didn't hear anybody go through the stall door at all. But I look down as I'm taking a shower, and on the curtain, I see the shadow of three fingers slowly pushing the curtain in towards me. I was lost. I was staring at the shadow and the curtain coming towards me, and I didn't know what to do. So I just kind of watched it for about 5 seconds until I finally panicked and pushed the curtain out. Nothing was there. I opened the curtain and nothing was outside. The next about 4 or 5 weeks, I took a shower with the curtain wide open. Like, I just had the stall door closed. I was very scared. But till this day, I can't explain what happened that night. But all right, bye.
Dang, I can't explain that either.
Well, I think it's crazy that we have two college bathroom stories.
And they had the blue lady. The other one had the white lady in white.
Yeah. There is I did look it up, and there is a webpage here about the blue lady at Eastern Kentucky University.
Oh, what does it say about her?
Well, it says that she was first spotted in the 1950s. She supposedly haunts the Pearl Buchanan Theater of the Keene Johnson Building. People have spotted a blue mist, heard singing, seen elevators moving on their own, and heard piano playing when no one was around. The origins of this particular spirit are debated, and some claim that the Blue Lady is an actress who committed suicide and now haunts the theater.
Mm. But, you know, if they have her, they could definitely have somebody else.
Well, you would think. Well, a lot of colleges do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we've talked about this. There seems to be a lot of activity at colleges. And I, you know, I have theories about that because I just think it's for the large part, a very emotional time in most people's lives. It's a very pivotal time in your life when you're kind of making decisions about what you're going to do forever, and you're meeting maybe your future wife or husband or something. And there's just a lot that happens with going to college. And so it doesn't surprise me that, you know, if someone passes at that college, that would be a place that they would feel, you know, compelled to be there at that place. So
I don't know, but
it makes sense. But yeah, I think I definitely have to think about washing up. Yeah, just
I don't know.
Without the
after
door closed.
Yeah, after yeah. that experience, I think I would think about transferring. Actually, I would be like, "Dang,
do we? Yeah, do we have any bathrooms on this campus that are?"
I mean, like, is there a Western State, Western yeah, Kentucky
Western
University? Because I'd be going there. I'd be like, "Dang." Well, here's
I think Kentucky's pretty haunted in general.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't you think?
But dang. I would be transferring. I'd be like, I can't. We've got one more story, and it says, this story is a bit strange and hard to explain. It does not involve me personally, but rather my father. Let me begin by saying my father still believes that this experience is explainable and is not necessarily of a paranormal nature. So in the early 1970s, my father relocated. He went from West Virginia to Florida. He was a young man and finally settled in a small city in central Florida. One day, while walking home from his girlfriend's house on a route he did not normally take, he was stopped by a man. As he walked past a house, the man began asking how he was and how long he'd been in Florida. He found it a bit odd because he was not sure who the man was. The conversation continued, and the man invited my father inside his home to eat, followed by a talk on the front porch. Okay, to me, that is really weird that you would be out walking past a house, strike up a conversation. The guy goes, you want to come inside to eat? And you say, yes. Like,
there's oh, no, way. That will never, ever happen.
Not with me. It was in the 70s, but I just am going to assume that guy wants to murder me.
Well,
in the privacy of his own home.
That's right. And so, I am just going to tee myself up for him.
So I am just telling you, if you're in this situation, I would not go in and eat and have a talk on the front porch. But anyways, the dad did. This is her dad's story or his dad's story. As the conversation continued, the man explained to my father that he and his family at the house were from West Virginia and that he knew my father's family and recognized my father because he was around when my father was a young boy. My father continued small talk, played a game of catch with the children, and eventually he said his goodbyes and left. Here's the interesting yet disturbing part. The following day, my father decided to take the same route with his girlfriend to the home he had previously been to the night before, but upon arrival, he was struck by confusion. The house he was at just a little more than 24 hours ago looked completely decrepit and abandoned. This deeply disturbed him, and there was no sign of anyone that was or had been occupying the home for a very long time. He thought he may have been at the wrong home, but he quickly dismissed that as he called back home in West Virginia. My father cannot recall the family's name now, but when he called his family in West Virginia and explained who he had visited the previous day, his family completely dismissed it. They explained that the man he had spoken with the previous night had murdered his entire family and then took his own life a month or so before this visitation my father had with him. Already disturbed now, my father can barely tell this story without getting goosebumps. That's from Steve. Okay.
Well, how does his father say questions. That he doesn't necessarily believe it?
Yeah, that's a big question for me because it says, my father still believes that this experience is explainable and not necessarily of a paranormal nature. But then the other part I think is really weird is the father located from West Virginia to Florida. That's a long ways. I mean, it's not California to Florida, but what are the odds of even running into anybody that you would know? But
someone who was dead and murdered his family.
But the fact this guy he just encountered is from West Virginia and he just happened to be walking by his house, struck up a conversation, and the guy's like, oh, I'm from West Virginia. And then this guy's dad knew this guy. I think the whole thing is so convoluted and weird. I don't know what to make of it. I just don't. And how would you have that experience and say, it's explainable? What's explainable about it?
I don't see any explanation for it.
It's confusing. The odds, even if he'd walked by the house and the house looked the same and everything, okay, and he's looking for the guy and the guy's not there, but what's the odds even then of him running into a guy in Florida from West Virginia that his dad happens to know and his dad told him the story about the murder? That's weird.
Yeah. No, I don't see any explanation. I just don't. And the fact that his father gets goosebumps telling it, and that speaks volumes, you know. When he tells the story, he feels that it's really, you know.
So what the hell is his dad's definition of paranormal?
Like, I don't know.
What does it take for this guy?
Well, I'm telling you, if there was ever a paranormal story, I think this is it.
It kind of makes me laugh. I don't know. Like, what else would it take to convince you? Like, the house is decrepit. The house you say you were at does not even exist.
Yeah,
You were playing catch with dead children. Or who are these kids? Where did they come from? Yep. Well, if you have a real ghost story, we want to hear it. Call it in 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Become a premium subscriber if you want to. No commercials, advance episodes, access to the archive. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts where you can try it 3 days free. Sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.